welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today, and we're just going to continue on the message I've been sharing the last number of broadcasts on a personal vision of God, the importance and the necessity of it. And what happens when we have a personal vision of God as Job did? He said, "Now I see you, God. Now I understand. It's not about me. It's about you." And as a result, what happened? Well, I've been sharing four things. One is that we begin to see what God sees from His perspective. We begin to have a heart for people. We begin to feel what He feels, that compassion, that love, in order to reach out to others. And then we need to do what God tells us to do. That's what we want to look at as we begin this broadcast. It's not information, beloved, but it's revelation. It's not how much you know. You know, sometimes you can feel very inadequate. You can feel insecure because you don't know the Word as well as you'd like to. You're not able to quote Scripture. But you know what? You can share your testimony. You can share what God has done for you. And the Lord will help you to, if not memorize verbatim Scripture, to at least be able to share the sense of it, the truth of it. And as you do that, God will honor your efforts. You know, it's as we understand this, and as we have this kind of understanding, it will move us to compassion. Remember, was it the 6th chapter of Isaiah? I saw the Lord, and He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and it was an incredible experience. Can you imagine what Isaiah saw? And, you know, the smoke and incense and prayers filled the sanctuary, and there were thunderings and lightnings, and it was just an awe-filled experience. You know, everybody uses that word so much. It's just awesome. Well, I sort of have a negative reaction to that because it's become a slang word. And when we use the word awesome regarding God, that's the true sense of the word. It fills us with awe and holy wonder and a fear of the Lord. What an awesome experience that must have been for Isaiah. And remember, as at the conclusion of it, God has a conversation. He does. You know, just as He probably did in the very beginning in Genesis, our God is a there are three persons in the Trinity. He's a tripartite being, if you will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's not time to share on that, but it's throughout Scripture. And He said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, obviously, there was more than one person there. And then there's another conversation that's going on in the throne, and the Lord asks, in the presence of Isaiah, who will go for us? Who will I send? Basically, who will go for us? And Isaiah, transformed by what he's seeing, says, "Lord, here I am, send me." Are we willing to say that? Send me. Who are the people that are ostracized? Jesus went after the lost cause. God takes the foolish things of this world and confounds the meek. You know, people may have rejected you know, the outcasts, those who are, you know, the down and out of society. But God goes after the despised. In fact, remember that woman that was they had no use for the Samaritans? He went to a despised, rejected woman at the well and ministered to her. Beloved, we are called to people, even those who get on your nerves. You know, we want to reject them. We want to make them go away. But think about this. Do you just suppose maybe for a moment that God might have placed them in your life for a reason? Well, that's something to think about, huh? All right. What's the fourth and final thing that I'd like to share with you? And that is, we're to celebrate as God celebrates. You know, the world knows how to party, and we should not think that the world, that's an exclusive right, a prerogative of the world, or to see that it's a negative thing. I'm sure there are glorious parties that are going on in heaven, but nothing like the party that's going to take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Nothing that's going to surpass what happens when all the redeemed of all ages gather around the Lord. As we gather around the throne to thank and praise our Father and to glorify Jesus for all that He's done in our lives. Doesn't that just fill your heart with praise right now? Don't you just, we can hardly wait for that time. Well, the world celebrates. I mean, I am not into sports, but there are those who are sports fans and enthusiasts, whether it's baseball, football. Let me tell you, they get really excited. I heard recently what they pay for season tickets, what they pay for just an admittance to one game. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars. That's over my head. But if you really love it, you'll go to that. At remember New Year's Eve celebrations in Times Square? There's, you know, a million people gathered together. There's 1,000 pounds of confetti. We in America are really good at celebrating the temporary. We do that at our holidays. But what does heaven celebrate? Beloved, heaven, all of heaven, gets excited over one sinner that repents. That's what God has called us to do, to be His ambassadors, to commit to His mission in the earth, and that is to see people brought into God's family, to see souls saved and transformed by the power of God. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." There's a wonderful a picture of heaven that's found in the 7th chapter of Revelation, just many places, but in verse 9 and 10, I just like to read that. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Praise God. That's the true joy of worship. There will come a day of celebration such as we've never known on this earth. Beloved, there's something bigger waiting for all of us. Jesus saves. That's the big story. Praise God. So in conclusion then, when we get a personal vision of God, it will change us. It will transform us. Like Job, like Isaiah, we'll begin to see what God sees. We'll begin to feel what He feels, and then we'll begin to do what God tells us. And as people are brought into the kingdom, we'll be able to celebrate and rejoice. In fact, God wants us to have a joyful countenance. You know, so many Christians look like they've swallowed a lemon. They're sucking on a lemon. They're just, you know, their faces are all clouded over. There's no joy. And regardless of what we can go through, you know, we go through hard times, yet we must never lose sight of the fact, let's not get so caught up in the circumstances, but let's rejoice. Let's know that our God is for us, and if He be for us, who can be against us? I pray that you've been blessed as I've shared these thoughts on a personal vision to Jesus, and I just want to take a few moments as I bring this broadcast to a close to pray and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as He desires. Father, Lord, you see we've shared your word. Lord, those who have been with me through the days that we've stayed on this subject, Lord, and even those who haven't, Lord, I ask you to give them a revelation of you. Let us, each one of us, have a personal vision of Jesus. Let us be changed, Lord, by who you are, by the great sacrifice that Jesus paid, that we could be part of the family of God. And Lord, stir us with such a passion and such a commitment. Give us your heart. Give us a desire to reach out to others, to be able to mentor and disciple others, just to walk alongside of them, Lord. You don't have to have a seminary training for that. You don't have to have a theological degree. Just share, you know, the disciples were, Lord, ignorant fishermen, but the Spirit of God qualified them to the extent that people say, who are these men? Aren't these just ignorant fishermen? But God, your anointing was enough. And so, Lord, I'm asking right now, Lord, for everyone who's joining with me in this prayer, that you will cause the Spirit of God, Lord, to quicken them. And, Lord, that they will feel and experience your heart. They will see with your eyes. You will anoint their eyes with eyes that they might see. And, Lord, that they would hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn not to the right or to the left. Father, I thank you for the empowering of the Holy Spirit, even now, in a new measure. And Lord, we thank you that we pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest. And Lord, we thank you that you will not lose one, and that the your work is on, and we're partners and co-laborers with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, beloved, I am he that will lift you up. I bring you up out of the miry clay, says the Lord. I lift you up out of that horrible pit, and I will put a new song of praise in your mouth. I will cause you to know that I love you and have loved you with an everlasting love. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you, for I am with you, and you will see as you praise me, says the Lord, you will see those things which have been as mountains before you. Those closed doors, those obstacles that seemed to be blocking your pathway. There was no way around or over. You were at a loss. Behold, I am he that will make the way straight. I will cause the valley to be exalted and every mountain to be brought low. And you shall see my glory in your life. I will anoint you and you will speak, yea, even the word of the Lord. And that which I speak forth through you, it will not come back void, says the Lord. Praise me, for I touch and refresh you even at this moment, says your God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I so sense his presence with us as we share the word of God. Amen. Well, it's been a joy and a privilege to minister to you. And as I close, I want to invite you. Many of you have listened for a long time. You've never taken the time to write. And I just feel that if you'll take that effort, God handpicks those who he brings to be a part of this ministry. I invite you to write if the Holy Spirit's moving on you. And again, thank you for your financial gifts. This is a faith ministry. No one with large amounts of money supports us. We've walked by faith all these years since 1965. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.